Christianity has a very special place within being. It has a very special place value. And when I think of Christianity, the self-containment of the infinite being, I think of a magnificent, huge matrix, a divine, infinite matrix containing within itself all that it is, the all with a capital A, embracing all, embracing every element within itself and in every element of itself, its entire being contained within every element. I think of an infinite mother, an infinite womb that has within itself all. And the program for all that has ever been and all that will ever be. It is that wonderful state of objectivity, that wonderful state in which being expresses all of its nature, not a speck, not a facet, not an aspect of that nature is unexpressed. The entirety of being is expressed, objectified, and contained within the infinite embrace of the most divine mother that has ever been conceived, the mother of being itself, being in its function as mother, being, holding, containing, nurturing all of its entire being, of its entire expression, containing the entire idea of its own being within itself, and expressing itself fully in every detail, all of those details integrating and united with one another for a grand inner song, a grand inner... I just hear a chorus, a symphony of sound, just welling up within being. It's expressing itself and it contains every potential element and calculus and expression within itself, all united to produce one gigantic object, one gigantic expression of itself, totally united within itself without any possibility of any facet of it being forgotten, torn asunder, broken apart. It's just embracing the entirety of its own infinite expression, its own objectivity. It's just the most fulfilling feeling to be in that place, because it's really being fulfilling itself. It's the self-fulfillment of the infinite being itself, because when that being objectifies, it is fulfilled. It is expressing every facet of its nature. So it is being in its most fulfilled state. The implications of that for us on another dimension are very exciting. So to follow through on that, let's move from that level, that perspective of divine science, where being is being the divine mother, that place that is signified by the term love. And let's look into the detail of its operation. Let's look from the perspective of absolute Christian science, where that wonderful divine mother is being the supportive parent to its idea. And that all-embracing matrix is functioning in relationship to that idea of its being. And how is it functioning? It is functioning through its fatherhood and motherhood capability and capacity. It is giving, in other words, unto its idea all that it is. It is giving unto its expression every element, every quality of its own infinite being. And it is containing its gift. It is holding and nurturing and embracing that idea in its full expression, never allowing it to escape or to get lost. Before you is a paper entitled Absolute Christian Science, The Law of Spontaneity, with a focus on the law of eternalization, because at that wonderful intersect where Christianity meets with absolute Christian science, there exists a law, a government, and this instance that applies to the idea. That law states the eternalization of that idea. It is being stating that as it is brought itself into objectivity, that if you view that object as idea, that object is eternal, and that it will forever be contained in the embrace of that infinite divine mother. So on the chart, you will see two columns. One headed by the term life, the other headed by the term love. The life column indicates the fatherhood of that idea. And the love column indicates the motherhood of that idea. In essence, it is representing an operation that is forever going on within the heart of being, where that infinite being is forever fatherhooding its idea by giving to its idea all of its qualities, by providing for that idea everything that it, being, is. It is maintaining and supporting and conserving its idea. It is upholding and promoting its own expression. It is You just get this incredible fatherhood sense of life. They are just pouring forth from the well of its being all that it is. It says, I don't withhold a thing from you. I give to my expression, I give to my idea, everything that I am. I hold back nothing. I pour forth from the depths of my being to my expression, every element of my being, every facet of my being, everything that I am giving unto my idea. And then you get this incredible motherhood sense coming in saying, and all that is given is held and embraced and cherished and nurtured and tended and cared for. It's wonderful. There isn't a possibility that that idea could get lost, because there's that motherhooding capability within being, and it's a law that is ever operative, that's at work, that's saying, and that idea is just treasured totally from the depths of being itself. It's treasured so much that it's held in the embrace of that being. It's contained in the embrace of that being, and nothing about it will get lost. Nothing about it could ever be minimized or distorted in any way. I, being as mother, it says, am going to just continually mother and nurture and tend and hold and value my idea. Isn't that gorgeous? You just get this incredible parenthood of the divine, fatherhooding and motherhooding its idea. And that idea is not outside of itself. It's doing it from within the depths of its own being. It's saying, really? I, motherhood and fatherhood, the expression of my being, I am forever giving unto that expression all that I have, and I'm holding it in full expression. There's no way it will ever be unexpressed. It's just wonderful when you get in there and you feel what is happening within being itself, that it is so fulfilled within itself that it functions in such a manner as to give forth unto its expression the ability to express its qualities and to nurture and tend that expression so that it never loses that ability. That's really what's going on in that place value. So therefore, I don't ever really have to feel that I have to maintain or sustain that idea. I don't personally have to mother that idea. Life is sustaining its idea. Love is caring for and protecting that idea. It's an incredible burden that falls off. You know, there comes a time when you love the idea so much that you really get in there and feel that you have to humanly mother it, that you have to protect it. No, I don't have to give the idea its qualities. The divine infinite subjective being is giving to its expression its qualities. And I don't have to get in there and mother and protect the idea. The divine mother is doing a wonderful job, much better than I could ever think of doing. It is mothering its idea. It's holding it and tending it and caring for it and cherishing it. Who do I think I am out here, you know? It would be like Atlas trying to hold up the world, you know? For me, an individual aspect of the infinite being, to think I could, you know, mother the entirety of being. I don't have to do that. No wonder when we try to do that, we feel so overburdened. It's a wrong perspective. We don't belong there. So we just need to throw that out and trust that a law is going on in being, and it's going on eternally. It is forever supporting its idea, and it is forever loving and caring and tending that idea and protecting it. It'll never let anything happen to the expression of its own being. It just isn't going to do that. I can have illusion after illusion after illusion. I can think that it's, you know, going down the tubes, but it won't. That's my problem. It's not its problem. Being is supporting its idea, and being is tending and nurturing and mothering its idea. I couldn't give you anything better today than to take that weight off your shoulders and to trust the fact that that is a law and it is always going on in being. Therefore, I have to allow it to go on. Right? It isn't that I have to do it for it, but I certainly have to back off and allow it. And one of the best ways to allow it is to be conscious of it. You know, to fill my being with it, to sing its song within my being all the time. If I do that, I will be much less likely to interfere. And I will be far more trusting. Because that harmony, that symphony, that law is echoing in my consciousness to such a degree that I won't think of interfering. I'll just flow with it. You know, I'll just go with it and flow with it and trust it and allow it to function, allow it to work within itself and therefore, of course, within me, because I won't be blocking the fact that it can function within me. So to that end, I ask you to turn the page. Here, on the second and third pages of the Law of Eternalization, we have an elucidation of the law, but more of an exercise for the law. It's not any different than the law that we've just gone through. It's the same law, but I'm presenting you here with a method for exercising the law within your consciousness, and I will try to make it as clear as possible how to do that. And I suggest that you do it, because if you do, you will be giving yourself the greatest treat imaginable. You will be allowing yourself to flow with a law that is going on in being. Therefore, inadvertently, you won't be flowing against the law. If you're flowing with the current, you just gently go with it, and it's wonderful, and there's no pain, there's no strain, there's no effort, there's no chemicalization, there's no problem, you just flow with the law. If you are not flowing with the law, usually because you are unaware that the law is what it is, we inadvertently block the law, we inadvertently flow against the law, we inadvertently do something to, you know, mess it up. Then, unfortunately, since the law is still functioning the way it's functioning, I will feel a jar within myself. Something won't feel right within me. So I feel that it is a divine privilege to be aware of all of the laws of being that are held within the model of being. And though I have not specified so far in this particular talk that each intersect of a vertical with a horizontal dimension represents a specific and individual law, that is indeed the case. But in this particular instance, We are focusing on the intersect of Christianity with absolute Christian science, and therefore are focusing on the law of eternalization, or the law of life and love, that is existing within being. And I am giving you a big pep talk and saying, exercise that place value, love that place value, become one with that place value, and then you will flow with the law. And nothing in your consciousness will resist the law. Therefore, you won't suffer the consequences, which is wonderful. I don't think any of us are masochistic, really. And we don't suffer because we want to. We do it out of ignorance. But you will be advertently doing it if you're aware that a law is there and you don't imbibe that law. So it's like somebody gives you the pearl of great price, which I truly feel the model of being is. And if you don't take that pearl and love it and understand it and culture it and appreciate it, it might as well be out with the swine, you know, because you're not appreciating what is there. So this is one method, anyway, for culturing this particular place value, culturing this particular law that is going on in being. And so, on the paper in front of you, we begin with love, which is really the divine science level, the divine object I have there, the self-containment of all. That's just a rehearsal of what we just did this morning. And then, both under the columns of life and love, I have there the fact that that which has been objectified, the idea, is eternally maintained, sustained, conserved, fed, upheld by the divine principle, the divine parent, the divine subjective being that created it, that caused it to be. And that's what we were doing a little while ago, was rehearsing that law, was seeing the fact that the divine father of being is fatherhooding its idea, is feeding and giving unto that idea all that it is. And then in the love column, the fact that that which has been objectified or idea is always preserved and accepted and embraced and contained and nurtured and held and protected and cared for, marvelous, by the divine principle, the divine parent, the divine subjective being that caused it to be. All right, that's again a rehearsal of what we were doing this morning. But who is that divine parent? What is that divine parent? What is the divine subjective being? And that's again what we did, but we didn't spell it out in these terms. That being is mind, is spirit, is soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That is the nature of its own being. That is what it is. So what could it give unto its idea except what it is? And what could give it except the qualities of that being? So all we're doing is penetrating into that matrix, really. Penetrating into that divine being and seeing what makes it up. Therefore, what is it that is functioning? What is it that is fatherhooding? So it's really mind, if you wanted to split being up into its sevenfold prism. Of course, we know we can't ever split being up. But for our understanding, it is very, very helpful to see the function of being through its prism. So therefore, really, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as being, are eternally maintaining and sustaining and providing for and feeding, etc., their idea. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as being, is always preserving and accepting and embracing and containing, protecting, etc., their idea. Is that making sense? Good. So the sevenfold qualities of that divine being then are giving unto that idea and accepting that idea. That divine parent, which is mind, is sustaining itself as idea. It is sustaining the objective expression of its mind. So one could say that mind is eternalizing that which it is as idea. That mind is eternalizing its own objective state. Mind, since mind is a sevenfold mind. Why do I say that? Because within being, every major facet point, every element known to us as every synonymous term is reflecting with every other synonymous term and blending in a great concord that produces the infinite matrix that we have been talking about. Therefore, mind is the mind of its mind, the spirit of its mind, the soul of its mind, the principle of its mind, the life, truth, and love of its mind. Therefore, mind is truly eternalizing the sevenfold nature of its mind. It is eternalizing the intelligence of its mind, the substance of its mind, the identity of its mind. It is sustaining the principle of its mind, the very structure of its mind. It is likewise sustaining and maintaining the life of its mind, the very isness and existence of its own mind. It is giving unto itself the consciousness of its mind, and on this level, it is sustaining, maintaining, and supporting the consciousness of its own mind. And it is integrating it's within its own mind. It is giving unto its mind the perfection of that mind.